AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve the entire world on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link on the left-hand side of the page. You can also call family and friends all over the tri-state area and invite them to tune in. Go right to the radio, tune in 860 AM, and for the next hour, you will be well entertained by Dr. Larkin Connolly of SCORE Philadelphia, Dr. Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology, and Dr. Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. I'm giving them all a new title today, and this is Dr. Blihash joining you. As I mentioned last week, and I had a wonderful response from the U.S. debt clock, which is listed on the very top of the right-hand side of American Workers Radio. Some of the people that looked at it were in disbelief that this is what is happening in America, but it is a reality. So we all have to accept that reality, but do the positive things that we try to do here on American Workers Radio. We speak about a lot of issues throughout the year. Today, I'd like to ask Larkin, Mark, Rich, myself, if we could talk a little bit about engineers, realtors, investors, and educators, and also the unemployed, because these are people who could do some positive things to change our situation in America. Many people in my travels, which I'm really pleased to say, because I know that people listen, and many people listen to the rebroadcast, they tell me, Michael, until you guys started to push the idea of shopping local and also taking a look at all the empty buildings, I just drove by many of these places and just, you know, it was part of the scenery. But now I'm beginning to see that our country has, you know, been devalued because majority of what made us great is now not there to make us continue to be great. So today I'd like to ask everyone to help me to talk about ideas about getting the engineers, realtors, investors, and the unemployed together to see what we can do to bring forth a new America. And we're also at the end of today's program going to, I gave Larkin, who's sitting in studio, ready, willing, and able to go ballistic. I gave him a copy of the proposal about November as American Made Month, and we're going to share some ideas, and I'm going to do it today because from these ideas, I'm going to ask our panel and all of you to share some of your ideas so that we'll be able to make this month a very big success. But Larkin, what do you think about getting the real estate people, the investors, the educators, and also the engineers together to revamp America?
I think, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Rich. And what's that other guy's name? It's a guy, is it Buffalo? He's good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
When everybody gets tired of me saying this and gets completely bored, it will be that time that you will do me a favor and call your local banker. The fix is in. The fix is within touch of everybody, and that is there has got to be access to capital. I don't care what you tell an engineer or a realtor. If there isn't money on the street, if there isn't capital available to grow our economy, to start small businesses, we're all just spitting into the wind, so to speak.
So, Larkin, you're saying we have to add the bankers.
Well, the bankers have got to get involved, and the bankers have to understand, you know, they've all turned their eye to a retail banking business model where they're whacking us left and right for overdrafts and for check processing and credit cards and everything else. And they're all making, you know, some pretty decent money because none of them are taking any risk. Nope, there's very, very little money on the street, and until that money becomes available, we're really, you know, whistling the wrong tune.
Mark, what would you add to that about getting the bankers, engineers, realtors, investors, and educated all together along with the unemployed? And I'm going to share some ideas with all of these groups in a few minutes.
Well, I agree with Larkin. Capital is number one for startup business. As you know, Larkin, working with SCORE, you need capital. You start borrowing from family and friends and to get your business out of your garage or in your garage started. Banks have to, you know, work more. Right now, it's so tight to get money. We've talked about it before. Even a business, I'm 25 years of General Welding this August 1st in business, and I had my first business 4 years, so almost 30 years in business. And it's probably harder to work with the banks now, and I'm not even looking for money. So I always think of that person starting a business. We say America's got to start dreaming again. We got to get back that can-do spirit. How do we do that? We have to make it accessible. We have to have good laws in place and opportunity to grow and start these businesses. So I think all, you know, I look back at my tough last 6 years, and what I was lacking was work. We didn't have work because everybody was in survival mode. Consumer confidence was down. You know, there wasn't a lot of disposable income. But you're absolutely right, Larkin. If you get an idea, you want these kids to dream, you want them to think, you want young people or any age people to start a business, you have to get it easier to do, because it's very difficult to do. You can come up with a great idea, you can come up with a great concept, but then you've got to get it launched, and it's going to start with capital, and you've got to make it more reasonable to do business here in the States.
You know, my wife and I were walking to the hardware store a couple days ago, and I heard somebody yell my name, Mr. Conley. I always turn around and expect to see my father somewhere, but this guy jumped out of a car and ran across the street and started to hug me. I know Doug. I know Douglas. He's been a client of mine for a couple of years. I haven't heard a word from him in about 8 months. And he said, one of my helpers is down in the post office a half a block away, mailing like 28 T-shirts that he had made. And I said, oh, so you've got your T-shirt business off the ground? And he said, yeah. The biggest problem he faced is he didn't have capital. But guess what? He owned his home. And guess what he did? I said, would you borrow money and use your house to leverage? He said, no, I sold the house. I sold the house, and with that capital, I went out and bought a digital printing device. I've got a small garage that I'm leasing, and I'm in there, you know, with my wife, who's pregnant with their second child, and these two guys that are helping me. And he said, we've had a banner first quarter, and our business is growing leaps and bounds. So in the face of not having capital, which was a problem that he and I had discussed an awful lot, he just bit the bullet and said, you know, he said, I'll get another house, and this one will be bigger.
And Larkin, that's the American story right there. That's the determination that an entrepreneur needs. That's what you do. I've done that many times. I always joke that, you know, I'm bank-owned and debt-driven. They own my cat, my dogs, you know, yeah, right. Everything. Everything's on the line always. I've been good years, bad years, but you always just keep going, and that's an outstanding story because he will make it.
You're exactly right, Mark. It's exactly the spirit that we look for at SCORE. Just, you know, battling through that, you know, you use the best word. It's determination. Douglas was determined that he was going to do this, and he is an Asian American, I think first generation Asian American, and he was not going to give up until he got what he wanted to get. And he has a really unique business model. He has people designing T-shirts, artists actually giving him designs. He puts these on T-shirts, and then he kicks back a significant percentage of the T-shirt sold to the artist who designed it. So now he's got a line of artists, obviously half a block long, that are working with him, giving him designs. And he said, not only do they, you know, give me really unique designs, but they also spread the word very quickly. you know, my art is on Doug's site, and you know, if you go on and take a look at
and on display as the people walk around.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep.
So,
and Larkin, what you got to do now is one more step is turn them on to me, or I'll set them up with the vertical mill to where it's 100% made in America fabric, and then we got another win-win-win that yep. I could sell this product.
Exactly. So yeah, that's great. That's number two in line. I have two of them now.
You know, Larkin, I wanted to tell you, I visited with a shirt manufacturer recently, and he said to me, the first words he said, it would be difficult for me to focus more on American-made shirts. But now that the American mood has changed and people are saying, not only the union people walking in demanding shirts made in America, but other school districts and other community groups and ball teams and everyone else. So the people who were giving out the inferior product, what I call inferior product, getting it for two, selling it for 10, are now on the outside looking in. So Mark, that's a very good point.
I've got several T-shirt companies. This Douglas would be the third one. And in all cases, they took the high road and use a really, really quality garment so that when you buy that T-shirt that's digitally printed, you've got a product that's going to last longer than, you know, five washings.
Now, Larkin, when you see him again, make sure you ask him to give every consideration to American-made products.
I can't tell you honestly where the T-shirts come from. Douglas is Chinese, by the way.
Yeah, he needs help, though. I just hooked with – there's only two vertical mills left in the country. Even my own Ricky Lee, I sponsor him all around the country to support our vets through singing and music. He was just in last weekend, and he brought his shirt that he made. It was made in America, but I said, Rick, do you know we have wholesale – I just invested quite a bit to buy blanks for people to do that, and the price came way down. A blank now made in America is maybe $4 to $5, where just 2 years ago I had to pay $7 or $8 even to think about the idea. So I've definitely got channels for them.
Great. Fantastic.
Wonderful. Rich, how are you doing?
Guys, good morning. Doing well, Michael. Thank you. Good morning to our listeners. You know, this topic, the banking capital topic, is one that's so near and dear to my heart. You know, Larkin, I don't know the numbers. I don't have the stats. But I would like to know how many established businesses in America that have improved their products and services, increased revenues, increased profits for several years, did it all on their own, that go to banks and get a not today, not tomorrow, not next month, not next year message. And I'll give you guys a quick little story, because Larkin, I've been influenced by your storytelling on air, and I want to give you guys a story about this. One of our customers went to a major bank, and I won't name the bank, they're not on the call to defend themselves, blah, blah, blah. Went to a major bank, asked me to advise. His business has been in business for 6 years, totally financed by the revenue of the business. No investors, no borrowing money. He didn't go to the bank of Corleone, Soprano, and Capone. Totally financed on his own. When he went to the bank stated to him that in order to get a $50,000 loan, he would have need to have shown another $50,000 in profit. Mind you, he did over $1 million in his small business. So I said to my customer, so in other words, what the bank is saying, they want you to pay another $17,000 or $18,000 to the IRS so you can take a $50,000 loan out with interest. No wonder these guys were basically out of business. And I'll tell you that what really galls me more than anything is the too big to fail scam was supposed to be the shining moment financially for the Democrats. And it's failed. And everybody involved in it knows that it's failed. And let's not leave the Republicans out, because they've taken plenty from the banks and financial institutions as well. But this was supposed to be their business shining moment. And the thing has fallen flat on its face. Even with the repayments, with the small interest. I'd like a $1 billion loan, guys, with low interest. Even with the repayments, it's still going to cost taxpayers tens, if not hundreds of billions by the time the smoke clears. The banks are there to provide financial partnership, to not take ownership of a business, but to be there as a partner. The banks went from giving money to literally to deceased people. You had deceased people getting pre-approved for mortgages to now they, it seems like they won't give to anyone. We need to find a balance on this.
I can't even remember how far back it is, but I think it's the early 90s, maybe the late 80s, where the buzzword was banks will lend money only to people who don't need it. And so if you're in a position to borrow money, you need money, and banks don't do that. They lend it to people who have the capacity to pay it back. Well, if you've got the capacity to pay it back out of cash flow, why do you need a bank? So
it's, you know, that's funny. When I first started my Mark Small Engine Welding business out of my father's garage, I went to the bank on my own, and they wouldn't give me a loan, no way, no how, but I ended up taking a loan on a personal loan on my truck at the time, and said I had to do fix-up, so that got me the $5,000 to get a few pieces of equipment and inventory. Nobody realizes the startup costs that are required to start a business, in equipment and inventory investments. You may not make money to 3 to 5 years, and that's a fact,
right.
But you got to keep going forward, and a lot of people don't realize, you know, what it takes to make that dollar. But getting money, we're on a perfect subject that I do think, Larkin, you hit nail on the head. It's one of the major things what's holding these companies, even myself, because banks basically want to run your company. They want to get in. They want audits. They want to know the numbers. They can't understand how you can take these risks. Look at me with snowplows. I take $1.2 million in snowplows in June and July, sit on them, and hope that it's going to snow.
That's called risk. That is the perfect.
Well, last year you must have did a little bit of business in snow.
I sold out of plows last year, but the season before I was stuck with 90 plows at an average cost of $4,000, so I sat on $360,000. Now Mother Nature came back, so the industry has resurfaced. But that doesn't guarantee that we have a great winter. That guarantees that people are going to think September, October, November, December, that it should be good. It could still be 70 in January. So it's a very unique business. But, I'm praying to, sell them all. And you get 3 months to pay for snowplows, October 1st, November 1st, December 1st. So it's a very gutsy, gutsy business. We want a crystal ball, and we just tell people it's going to snow. It's going to be 10-foot deep. We start now.
You know, Larkin, as Larkin was saying that, and Mark, you're in a very, very ongoing business with a lot of people to take care of. Would you say in the first few years of your business, you were able to at least break even and support yourself?
Anybody that shows me a 3-year projection of cash flows and income for a business that they're about to start up and shows me profit in the first year, it's not going to happen.
No.
It doesn't happen.
But at least they can support themselves. And the reason I'm saying it is in my travels, I always encourage people. Some of them say, well, you know, I'm good at baking. I'm this and that. I say, well, okay, then get in with your local baker. Do something positive. Maybe you can expand. And everyone, tells me, well, the big stores put in the bakery shops and all and sort of killed. I said, well, we're trying to focus people back into the neighborhoods. So let's see what we can do. But in many cases, people are listening. We had the gentleman on here who was telling us that you have to have a lot of family members and friends ready to invest in you. And Larkin has said that on numerous occasions. And that means something, because today, too many people are unemployed. We already know that the jobs left America. We have to bring them back with the right ingredients that we're going to have them forever.
Right.
The days of big factories, they're over. That's finished. The days of 100 people working together or 200 people is more likely than 5,000 people waiting for the 8 o'clock whistle to blow in the morning.
And you forgot. Well,
Michael, Michael. You talking about capital. We're talking about capital to businesses. Jobs are not created out of thin air, as we've mentioned many times on the show. Jobs are created by new businesses and by existing businesses that are expanding and are growing. And the fact is, with small business, and Larkin, you mentioned the 3-year thing, and I have to fully tell you on air and admit to everybody, had I come to you in the beginning of RJL Technologies, you would have laughed me out the door. And I mean that. I mean, my business plan was we were going to have our business meetings in any place that started with an O apostrophe. If it's got an O apostrophe, we're going to have a business meeting there. I didn't have any of those things. But what happened is, because entrepreneurs will be entrepreneurs in any industry and in any economy, they figure it out. And if we can get those who figure it out and remain solvent and remain competitive and start getting them the capital, they're either going to grow. Businesses are growing or dying. And there's this 3 or 4 year mark, I think, with business that they're eventually business to really grow needs some injection of capital. It's just, I think traditionally it's just always been this way. And Michael, this is directly related. We talk about jobs. They're not going to get created. The government's not creating jobs. I'm going to create X amount of new jobs in my district and in my city. No, you're not.
You know, no, Rich, before we go to break, I have to say this to you, and I'm going to go back to Larkin when we come back. But I have to tell you, so many people still believe that government is going to create jobs. They continue to say that, well, we have to talk to government officials. I say, I'm sorry to tell you. Government officials talk about jobs until the election is over. Once the election is over, we're not the party in power. We got 1,001 reasons why we can't help you. Call us in 2 to 4 years when it's time for re-election. And I'll be back after these few messages.
Download the Go4USA mobile app from the iTunes Store today. This is an online database which helps you pinpoint where to purchase American-made goods and allows consumers to upload product information simply by scanning the UPC code. Consumers eager to help create American jobs by searching for and buying U.S.-made products and services now have what they need in the palm of their hand. These platforms will access the same product, manufacturer, and retailer information available today and which continues to grow from the dedicated efforts of the Mobile Army. Download this great app from the App Store today and help us help each other. Buying American made keeps American jobs. The Go4USA app will be released for the Android market very shortly. Hatz Auto Tax has 3 convenient locations to serve you in the Philadelphia area. Stop into 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond, which has same-day direct link service with the DMV. Call them today at 215-427-1832. They also have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue at the corner of Harbison and Sanger Streets, 215-533-2220. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Mr. Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Call them today at 215-423-5266. For more information, give them a call or stop in at any of their convenient locations and tell them that we sent you. The Tri-State Media Network is a radio, internet, and newspaper advertising service available to hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners throughout the Tri-State area. They promote advertisers on their internet and Facebook pages, as well as here on 860 AM. Visit them today at www.tristatemedianetwork.com or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/tristatemedianetwork. Call them today at 215-829-9200 for more information on their advertising services.
And the next portion of our broadcast is also being presented by Leon Mankowski, attorney at law. And as you know, he's located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. And for all of your auto body repair needs, call upon Serena's Auto Body Shop. They have 2 locations at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia and at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And for a trip to Europe, just walk through the doors of the Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, reminds you that he has an office in Center City, Philadelphia, and in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, you can give him a call at 215-564-1866. And for a great smile, always contact Dr. Eva Machak, who has 2 dental offices in Philadelphia. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street. And Dominic Rostotsky is another supporter of the Buy American Made campaign. He's an attorney at law, and his office is located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia. For more information, you can call Dominic Rostotsky at 215-575-7624. Well, I want to get back to some of the thoughts on getting our professionals together. You know, when I walk around, people tell me different stories about the kids in their life or their grandchildren, and they say, my son is an engineer, my is accountant, he's majoring in business. And so many of these great opportunities for people to come together, but none of these people are getting together. It's right, you're right, Larkin. Money makes the world go round. Now, what I've noticed is that many of the schools have these people with a noose around their neck. Some of them graduated, they got $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 in debt for that degree before they can do anything, and they got real cold feet when it comes to going out and taking a loan. And in many cases, that school loan stops them from taking any kind of a loan to open up something on their own. But there are many opportunities. I tell people, some of them tell me they're discouraged workers. And when I mean discouraged, I mean people who have been off unemployment for a year or two. So I talk to them about making up a flyer and putting a flyer within the mile of your house, offering the type of services that you can do, even if it's outside of what you were trained for. And some of those people come back and say it worked out. And I know myself, in my neighborhood, I'm always getting some kind of stuff in the mailbox. You know, if you want a cleaning service, you want somebody to come and look at your chimney, now it's the right time to come and do it. We just need to do that so that people get the idea that more little businesses have to rise. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And I think you guys, you know, touching on a small business person, and Larkin, you deal with it. Rich, you are one, and Micah, you've launched your radio show, and myself, it comes down to how bad do you want it, and you got to stay hungry constantly. So many people started businesses, and I gave them, you know, a couple words, you know, you got to stay hungry, and they remind me, I've always stayed hungry. It's determination. Now, when you talk about making money, maybe not till 3 to 5 years, that's real. That's realistic. A lot of people can't grab that. And like Rich, you said, the first year you thought, or, you know, if you drew up, you were going to make money the first year. It's just, it doesn't happen. But moving in with your parents or living with your parents, I had great parents. I started out of their garage, lived with their house, keep the expenses down. People don't realize it's you got to come last. You're going to have bills to pay, but you got to be very, very patient.
But you can at least build your independence for the future.
Yep.
And that's the big part of what we're trying to discuss.
It's your baby. You know, you've got control of your own destiny.
And you're
Michael, I have so many recent with school, excuse me, Larkin, with all the recent grads, and many of whom I'm meeting are MBA grads. And in talking with all of them, you know, I ask them, same question. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And everyone, it seems like every graduate, I'm going to look for a job. I'm going to look for a job. I'm going to look for a job. And I asked him, I said, well, what about a business? You know, what about a job to pay your bills while you start a business? I mean, you're good at something. See, that's the thing, Michael. That's the great thing about a free market, that everybody's good at something. And it's not easy. It's probably as tough now, and Larkin, I would defer to your expertise on this. If I had to guess, comparatively speaking, it might be as tough a time, if not the toughest time now ever, to start a business up.
It's pretty tough.
In 2008, if I'd come to see you at SCORE, I was, for better or for worse, I was naive. It didn't occur to me that the economy and the government and, you know, the Middle East and all this other crap could influence my business. I just said, I want to do this. I'm going to figure out a way to do it. So that naivete, maybe on one hand, didn't help. On the other hand, maybe it did. But I've got to think it's tough now.
Yeah, and if I could add a little on to what Mark said, one of the things that entrepreneurs fail to recognize in the early goings is cash flow. You know, cash is king and credit is queen.
It's the blood.
It's right. It is the blood that runs the heart. And I had somebody come to me the other day with a rather impressive three-story daycare center. They're going to be a preschool. The concept was fantastic, But as I looked at their financials, the first year they lost $58,000 or something like that. And the next year they started making money, and the third year was really bright because they had the census of students up as far as it would go, and everything was hunky-dory. But I said, girls, how are you going to get through the first 12 months? Well, I mean, we're going to lose money, but we're going to make it next year. No, wait a minute. This clearly says that you lost $22,000 in your operation in February. You have to have $22,000 somewhere to cover that shortfall. I mean, you have to have cash flow. So a cash flow statement in their case shows them. So we discussed, how do we do this? Two ways to do that. Go out and raise the money to have the cash on hand, or cut your expenses. Well, how can we cut expenses? So we started whacking away. The first one I came to was the janitor. So you have a janitor cleaning this three-story building. What does he or she do? Well, it's 3 hours of work a day. They mop the floor, run the vacuum cleaner where it's necessary, and you know, sanitize it, blah, 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 blah. And I said, whack, that gets whacked, goodbye. That you can hire that person year two. Well, who's gonna do that? I said, roll up your sleeves and go buy a pair of latex gloves, because it has to be done and you're going to do it.
Well, you know, Henry was telling me about somebody he knew who's a real professional. And the people in the office said, if everybody takes a turn taking care of the office, you will be able to get some time off or some additional money so that we can cut down on expenses. So some of these people with, you know, the best fingernail jobs and all that, put on those gumoverenkovich, those plastic gloves, and the next thing you know, they take care of it. And in the reward, they get a day off or they get some additional money. It's how you start to realize what you're going to do to save expenses.
You have to do what you have to do.
It's,
you
know, controlling the cost of sale.
You know, when
Mark, you're talking about rolling your sleeves up. This morning I had an upset customer demanding to talk to my manager. And I said, okay, hold on one moment. Let me get my manager. And I put my headset down. I came back on the phone. Hi, this is Rich's manager. Wait, I thought you were the sales guy. Well, I am the sales guy. I'm the CFO. I'm the ATO. I'm the OPP. I clean the toilets.
Sanitary engineer. Right.
I have the sexual harassment meetings at the HR with the United Nations Council. Yeah, I do all that.
There it is.
One hat.
Yep, one hat. That's right. One hat, many different colors.
You know, getting all these professionals together, I think, is really going to help America, because we're seeing a lot of the people who have the talents starting to say, if I don't do something to help myself, government and or no one else is going to do it for me. The thing that always drives me nuts is when people say to me, government is going to said they're going to do some major changes. No, they're not. They're not there. Government, somebody mentioned about blood. They are there, but they're the vampires of the businesses. They're to suck every pound of blood and profit they can get out of you.
Yep. Well, you know, as far as job creation is concerned, I hate to offend anybody that lives in the District of Columbia, but Washington currently is part of the problem, not the solution. Businesses in a position to hire and expand and recognize the threats to their own future and the overall economy, from the higher taxes that the government creates, from higher deficits, the debt they create, the cap and trade that's hostile to small businesses, the takeover of private health care, the growing protectionism sentiments. I mean, this is all kind of spewing out of Washington, D.C., and none of it helps businesses grow, helps small businesses.
Now, Larkin, I'm going to ask you all a question. I'm going to ask all of you to answer this big question. Is, can we operate our businesses outside of anything to do with government other than paying our taxes?
I don't see how you can. I mean, it starts by getting a license to do business with the government, from the government.
Mark, can you see, other than paying your taxes and paying your license, can you operate your business without government?
Yeah, I pretty well do without politician help, but Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, it's funny you bring that up. I watched that New York State commercial last night again, that, you know, move your business to New York.
10-year tax abatement.
And then you get no business taxes, no sales tax, and no property tax. And I'm still looking to find out where that is. But, you know, if I had that for 10 years, what a jump start on business. And not to get off, but remember, Made in America store is a brand new business, 4 years old now, and we're hoping to see black. You know what I mean?
You know, Rich, you said something last week which drove one of our listeners wild. I saw them on Sunday, and they said, you know, Mark said something which happened exactly to me. And I said, what is it? And they said, well, we took a lot. And we developed it into a business, a lot that had been vacant for 50 years. We developed it into a business. The next thing you know, we have an $18,000 property tax bill estimated for the first year. And next year, they will come to reevaluate the property. And I said, yes, it's exactly
what
Mark was saying.
That's exactly what happened to me. And boy, that's something. It's there. You know about it, but you don't expect it. Like, all of a sudden, mine's $30,000 for this building for my distribution house for Made in America. Wow, these are hits. These are expenses. That's what Larkin's talking about. Rich's talking about controlling expenses. But these expenses are fixed, and you can't do much about it.
Not a thing you can do with fixed expenses. And that's what where I exactly the comment I'm making. It's time for the government to step aside and stop applying all of these fixed. Turn them into variable expenses. Become a partner with small business and tell them, we won't charge you a dime for the first 2 years as you get up on your feet, and we'll amortize that 50% of that over the next 5 years.
And they should be able to help you every time you hire a new employee. You should get a bigger benefit for having.
But we are producing livelihoods. That's what they can't grab a hold of.
Right.
These businesses are producing livelihoods that we need.
There's no question of that, but they. Yeah. There is this inbred, I don't know what it is. There's something inbred in a politician or somebody who becomes a politician that says you have to put on symbols and walk around making a lot of noise and passing laws and
to bring attention to yourself. Yeah. You know, maybe it would be better if, as Rich will love this, I think it would be better if all the state and national legislatures were part time. That way there's no pensions, there's no unemployment. You're called in by the Speaker of the House or the President or whatever to come in to address certain issues. Quite frankly, I think that a lot of America's problems came about as a result of politicians being on the job 365 days a year and not having a job that they have to run to make their actual daily bread.
And if they don't sponsor legislation, they feel like they're not earning their money. When the best thing they could do to earn their money is get the heck out of the way and let these companies move forward. It sounds to me, Mark, like you're like the state of New York sent somebody to Texas and saw what was going on down there and came back. Because, you saw it firsthand when you were in San Antonio. Texas is flourishing.
Yes.
It really is. It's a flourishing state.
And it's pretty basic why. I mean, they're about 30 to 40% savings on taxes. No state tax. That's 30 to 40% savings on expenses. You can own a house again in Texas. You can in California. It's just not going to happen. And it makes sense, and they're working with the business. Get them there. Cover a lot of the costs, but in 5 years they'll make it back because they know people are going to move in, their employees, and buy it, you know, go to the local barber, to the restaurants, and support the community.
If they abate some of those taxes, it certainly doesn't mean that they aren't going to collect taxes by other means as soon as they start having employees in the state.
Right, but then you get everybody in that growth mode, and that's what starts to happen. You get that energy going forward.
Now, Mark, when you got your taxes on the for the place where you built the building, did you ever ask any of the political people what those taxes were going to be used for?
You know, I didn't do that. I asked even for help, and Larkin, you'd know the ECIDA, the IDAs, and they hate retail.
They really do.
They really do. They laugh. When I did manufacture, I did get some tax resolution. People think that they give you money, the IDAs. They generally give you tax resolution. Over 15 years, they give you breaks on sales tax and things. But retail, you're not getting help from the bank or from the IDAs.
Although you have the inventory there, you know, so they should be able to help you along. But it seems that they're working against our businesses. And that's why I'm glad we're on this subject today, because I'll be seeing many people during this weekend at a few events. And I'm going to promote them to consider the fact that we need more local businesses, and local businesses trading with local businesses, supporting one another, I think is really going to be the way of the future. I know that I can say that many of the local businesses that support our broadcasts here 7 days a week on 860 AM in Philadelphia in the tri-state area are people who appreciate that we're uniting people to and encouraging people to go shop at their stores. And I'd like to bring attention to the fact that Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. You can always shop there, and they have great products. For more information, you can give them a call at 215-634-3750. And also, if you're thinking of doing some travel to Europe or anywhere in the USA, remember the Polish American Travel Service is located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in the well-known Port Richmond section. Give them a call at 215-634-3396. And wherever you shop, look for Giorgio products. They have great mushrooms, frozen food, and so much more. Check their name out in the store where you shop. They've been a symbol of quality since 1928. And Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings, Kazimierz Wielki Bank, reminds you that they have five locations in Philadelphia. For more information, call their main telephone number at 215-698-9400. And Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio is a well-known attorney at law representing clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. For more information, give her a call at 215-423-4824. And also, if you're looking for auto, home, or life insurance, remember, State Farm handles all of those. Call Karen Janot at State Farm at 215-862-5490. And another well-known sponsor of ours is Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and everyone from Everest Dental, and they're located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. You can call Everest Dental at 215-671-0188. And also, the Polish National Alliance is America's largest national life insurance organization, representing people and having representatives across all 50 states. For more information, you can call their main telephone number at 1-800-621-3723, and they will have a local contact near you give you a call. Well, gentlemen, today has been a very important message to people considering getting a job, for people considering what can we do to help one another. I know that investors want to see that the American people are going out of their way to pick up products at the store, especially with an American-made label. And I want to tell you, there are more American labels on the street than I have ever seen. Even speaking with the shirt dealer the other day, he told me that more people are asking for American made, which really cheers me up. So Bayside was one of the companies he mentioned, and I said, well, very good. That's what we like to discuss. But gentlemen, I'm going to change the subject a little bit, because we're 90 days away from an important event that we announced last week. We're designating, American Workers Radio is designating the entire month of November as American Made Month. And during that month, we're going to highlight American workers in every profession, and we're going to focus on ways for America's consumers to circulate more of their money right here in the USA. And let me just give you a small idea of this brief schedule that we've worked up. Number one, we're going to have Election Day. Wow. November the 4th is National Election Day. And boy, is that an opportunity for us to find out which political leaders are supporting efforts to expand jobs here in the USA. I mean, Is that something that we can agree with? I'm sure we can finally get them on the carpet for who they really are. And then Mark, Rich, and Larkin, and our listeners and our business people who listen, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of November is, of course, the November edition of National Small Business Weekend. Everybody will go out, and we're going to promote American Made Month during November, the whole gig. And then, as Mark said last week, November 11th is Veterans Day. It's a time to honor veterans and promote jobs for veterans and all American workers. I mean, veterans need jobs. It's very discouraging to think that people are going to be coming back from their service abroad to have no jobs. Next, coming up during the weekend of November 14th, 15th, and 16th, I'm going to promote during our daily radio broadcast that people should go out and look for items that would make great holiday gifts that are totally made in the USA. Number five is going to be November 27th is Thanksgiving Day. It's a time for all of us to give thanks for family, great friends, neighbors, and of course, to ask all of those family members, friends, and neighbors to support the Buy American Made campaign so we can get more of these little businesses up and running and also get and keep more jobs for Americans. And then comes Friday, November the 28th. It's Black Friday. It's a time to focus on American-made everything so that American businesses benefit first. Let's focus Black Friday on American-made. And then comes November 29th, National Small Business Saturday. This national event was promoted by American Express, and we're going to really promote them this year and promote the idea that American workers need them, and November is American Made Month. And then, of course, Sunday, November the 30th, just like every end of the month and the last day of the month, it's a time for us to relax, sit back, and see what more we can do to bring attention to the fact that there are more American Made products being circulated. What do you think of those ideas, guys?
I love your list, Mike. You're hitting it all on the head. I'm very excited about it. Perfect time of year. Look at what you just listed, how much happens in November. My fourth quarter is the largest in both my businesses by chance. And the retail, it's the number one across the country. I love it because it's a whole month. You know, we can talk about, like you said, anything that has to do with it. Veterans, you touched on. Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the biggest shopping day there is. All real good. I just love the whole idea. I'm going to try to reach out to and I'll talk to you about some national media we might be able to get, Mike, too.
Very good. Mark, I'm depending on you to get after the national media on this.
Yeah, I thought about it last night, and I've got some good connections. Why not? This is a perfect way to discuss behind the scenes first, and then I'll let you guys know.
Very good. Okay, Larkin, what would you like to add to the list of goodies?
Where's Thanksgiving? I get a couple days off on Thanksgiving. Where's Thanksgiving? It's what a great idea. I mean, it's fantastic. And, you know, the greatest element of pride I take away with the work that we do here at American Made is exactly the impact that we're having. And the idea that I see Made in America or Made in USA stickers everywhere. They're popping up more and more and
I
more.
I do.
It's people wonderful. Are starting to use it, and it's exactly these kind of initiatives, as you know, as well as our first weekend of the month activity. This is just great. And the month of November is the perfect timing to get everybody thinking in that direction, because December is it. I mean, December.
That's it.
Represents about 28% of our, 30% of our economy in that particular month. So let's get them pointed in the right direction.
And, Rich, I'm going to ask you for a special part in this, too, and that is during the month of November, I'm going to ask you to help us discuss with businesses presently in business and those that would like to go in, what's hampering and what's helping businesses to open and in their local communities. Larkin mentioned banks. Let's get the banks to promote American Made Month. There's no reason, there's no argument that they can't promote it. There's nothing controversial about it. And also, we have to make sure that after American Made Month, that everybody knows that American Workers Radio is promoting American Made 365 days a year, and that's the most important message that we can do. Rich, what would you like to add?
Well, I think that's a good question, Michael, for elected officials at all levels, because one of the things that is just simply unavoidable in all this is we talk about tax legislation that's created by lawmakers. So on the federal level, when I read quotes and publish reports from elected officials from both parties talking about American Made and outsourcing, it's very clear to me in most of the quotes that I see that they don't actually understand why businesses have left. So if you don't know why companies have incorporated in Ireland and in Switzerland and down in the Caymans, well, how can you possibly present and sell a plan on getting them back here when you don't even know why they left in the first place? But it's easy to see, it's easy to rail against those companies and say, well, such and such company takes advantage of being an American company while they're incorporated in Ireland. And I think the path is needs to be one where government treats this more like an actual business. Now, the problem with that, Lark, and as you pointed out numerous times, is have elected officials really shown themselves to be particularly business savvy when it comes to their own raises and benefits and things? Yes. When it comes to business, I'm not so sure.
Exactly.
So sure about that.
You know, Rich, also I'm going to ask you to bring this initiative to Nick. I mean, he's going to be running in the election, so maybe a little pre-election promotion of American Made Month would be helpful to him as well.
Well, Nick's coming back on. I've been in touch with him, Michael. He did reiterate that the police were not called because of an open container, so I just want to make our listeners aware of that. He wasn't breaking the law doing anything, but he's coming back on. The campaign is in the home stretch, and by the way, guys, I'm going to take the under with the midterms. I'm going to take the under 45-minute mark on the so-called debates that we hear before the 45th minute, quote, most important midterm elections ever, unquote. So I've got the under, and I'm already hedging the bet for the 2016 presidential so-called debates. First debate, by the halfway mark, one candidate says most important presidential election ever. Just like they said it in 2012, 2008, 2004, 2000, all the way back.
Yeah, it's all.
So that's the question, Michael.
Yes. Now, the last but not least is during this process, I am going to contact. We have hundreds and hundreds of emails to the people who contact us from many of the elected officials in the state of Pennsylvania, some in New Jersey, some from a national level. I think it's time for each one of them to present a proclamation. I'd like to even see President Obama present a proclamation recognizing American Made Month.
And you know, Mike, that you could also have Skilled Worker Month, right? But we can tie that in with skilled workers, and it goes in exactly what you're saying. You know, support these. This is a month that we can support everybody. And one thing, I don't know if you gentlemen got the myth on economic patriotism that I sent this article. And Rich, it was right in line with people understanding, politicians understanding why companies left. Because basically it's saying a new form of patriotism has become an issue now that several big U.S. companies have decided to relocate their headquarters to other countries in order to lower their tax bill. They're calling it tax inversions. It requires a merger with a foreign company. But really it comes down to not blaming the companies, they're blaming the politicians for booby-trapped tax codes.
Well, that I can agree with 100%.
Yeah, you know, you have to look at that article, Mike, and I think you'll really see because, you know, they're leaving, but they're saying people, you know, if they're trying to get a, they're dodging taxes. But I'm saying a company should actually have that patriotic feel. And, Rich, we've talked about this before. But, you know, business are about making money and making money for their shareholders. But I think we got to get back into loving our country a little bit and supporting our country. But everybody has to work together on that.
But I want to tell you, for 200 years, America really went out of its way to support jobs for its people. I mean, every little business did business with every little business, and big business did business. Now greed took over, and now we have less jobs, We have people really hurting, and it's time for us to consider that every able-bodied and working-age person in America has to do something to support themselves. And the politicians who dragged the businesses down have to start building them up with proclamations and then actions. I believe if we get this out on the market in the next month or so, it could be discussed during the final days of the campaign prior to the November election. And I really think we have to do something. We're doing a lot of good. By the way, Mark, I have to tell you this. I did receive a text from a listener and supporter, Eric Naduchin, who was at your store last week. He took a picture and he texted it to me just to let you know. So, Eric, I said I would do it. Best wishes to you. Thank you for letting me know all about that. But gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's really getting close. But Larkin has a very special meeting to attend. And hopefully Larkin is going to be the wild man he is. And Larkin, I'm going to ask you to come in and do some on-air promos for American Made Month. You have a great presence on the radio. Come in and do some messages, and I'll make sure that they're played station-wide on 860 and some of our other contacts.
Can I cuss?
No, I don't know. FCC doesn't like me as it is. So.
Well, I've got to add a supplement to what Rich was talking about, and the corporate income taxes. They're higher in this country than they are anywhere in the world.
That's right.
And that's why many companies have deserted the shore, and Heinz being one of them. The list is. It looks like a New York phone book. It's just another reason, like reason number 55,000, of why our tax code has to be rewritten, why it has to be not only simplified, but made an awful lot fairer than it is right now.
As I mentioned several times in the past, can you imagine America if we were able to just have 50% of all the items made here again? Would be unbelievable.
One of the first things I'd stick in that new tax code is nobody over the age of 85 is responsible to pay taxes. Period. Amen. You reach 85, you're done. You're finished. You spend the rest of your life doing whatever you do, but you know, I just don't. My mother used to pay, God rest her soul, she died at 97. I can still see her at age 95 laboring over her taxes.
Yeah.
And I went, this isn't right.
As I said last week, I mean, some of our people are poor and they're trying to cut expenses. They're even taking off cable and things like that, going to rabbit ears. It doesn't make any sense. We can't kill Americans. We're trying to rebuild it. Mark, think of ways we can promote American Made Month during November. Rich, I'm depending on you. Larkin, you're going to be the spokesman for many of our PR efforts, and I'm going to thank all of you for tuning in. Please do spread the word. You can listen to rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Once again, my best wishes to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel. Thanks to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and our guest, Stephen Smolchinski here, and everyone that's helping us spread the message about American Workers Radio and the Buy American Made campaign. Check us out and make sure you spread the word. And also on the front page of our internet site is contact your elected officials link. Give them a contact. You can email them so they know that the taxpayers are alive and well. Until next Wednesday or this Saturday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Basha will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Until then, have a great day.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good week, guys.